A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Yom Gizrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Pei Aleph, Shabbos 81A at the bottom line. Pagination is 161, last line of the page, second word. Bomini Rabba bar Rav Shila asked the following question. May Rav Chista, onto the next page, from Rav Chista. Mau la'alosam acharov lagag. What is the halacha to bring them after him up to the roof? What are we talking about? So we're dealing with something called avona mikorzalos, a certain type of stone that was used for wiping oneself after bathroom use. And the question here is twofold in its global sense. One issue is, are the stones mukta? And if so, these stones, whatever they are, pebbles, something they used instead of tissues, perhaps the rabbis were more lenient in the laws of mukta because it's covered abrios, because it's human dignity, and we have to be more lenient to allow certain things when a person is stuck, and they don't have designated stones or something, so that's one issue in a global sense. Rashi comments that the actual question over here specifically is that carrying them from downstairs to upstairs, wherever downstairs was, but it's a tircha yisera. It's a significant effort, labor. And therefore, that doesn't make it biblical, because biblical has to be one of the 39 categories, for example, but it is going to be rabbinic because it's unnecessary effort, labor, exerting oneself. So he answered, Amalei, he answered, Godel kodvar abriyos, human dignity is great, shedoches lo sa'asa shebetorah, because it pushes away the lo sa'asa of the Torah. What is this referring to? Which prohibition was pushed away because of human dignity? So Rashi tells us that in the laws of Ashavas Aveda, returning lost objects, the law is that if it's an elderly or scholarly or dignified person, whatever the case is of the word zakein, ve'enu lefichvodo, when it's not within his dignity to return the object, it's the kind of object that he himself would not walk in the street carrying for his own stuff either. So then he's not obligated to return it. Person loses a hubcap. He sees a car of a friend that he knows, hits a bump, hubcap bumps off. So for many of us to carry a hubcap in the street, no, so maybe someone will ask you what's going on, but basically we can do it. Certain people, it's really beneath their dignity. Even if it was their own hubcap, they wouldn't walk in the street with a hubcap. So we see, Gemara gives examples, other examples, but on certain items, the Torah absolves you of the mitzvah because we recognize kavod abrios. So using that as a jumping off point, taking the lead from the Torah, we see that kavod abrios is significant, and they softened the laws of mukta a bit, made it more lenient, in order to accommodate covered abrios, and therefore he says you're allowed to do it because you need these stones for whatever function they needed in order to clean correctly. Yosef Merimar was sitting, v'koma lo lahashmaita, and he said over this ruling, Esve Ravina l'mereimar, so Ravina asked the following question, we're on the fourth line of the page, Rabbi Eliezer omer notal adam kisa mishalafan of lachzas poshinov. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is you're allowed to take a splinter, small piece of wood, and use it as a toothpick to clean out his teeth. V'chachamim omrim, and the chachamim say, lo yitol elo min ha'eva shabahema, you're only allowed to take, not from whatever's around, you're only allowed to take what was designated for the animal use, because what's designated for the animal use is not mukta. It's animal food. You're allowed to touch it on Shabbos. So you're allowed to take one of those straws that was designated for the animals, you could use it as a floss. What do you see from here? That even though it's a case of human dignity, And it's fascinating that the Gemara considers this the same level of human dignity as the bathroom. One can easily make a differentiation. But Rashi says, you know, sometimes a piece of something is sticking from his teeth and it's less than dignified and he needs to clean it out. Not always, but sometimes. And you see that they were somewhat restrictive and they told you, only from non-muktzah. We'll figure out a solution for you, but non-muktzah only. So you see that they did not relax the laws of muktzah in the case of human dignity. Hachi hashta. Let's analyze this. Hasam adam kaveh makam l'su'uda. Over there, a person knows where he's going to eat. And he could easily have prepared whatever he needs to clean his teeth. And therefore, we only give him a solution from a non-muktza source. But we're not going to relax the laws of muktza for him. Ha-ha, but over here, on the original topic, the bathroom, adam kaveh makam lebeis hakiseh, does a person designate a place to use the bathroom? And Rashi explains that most people did not have their own bathrooms. They had to go to wherever they went. And therefore, it was somewhat of an impromptu event where they always had to find a solution because it was more of a public place or a place a little further away from the house. It wasn't so simple. Rashi's wording here is, Dorim bevateyam ba'aliyah, they used to live in second stories, attics, whatever, his description of multi-family dwellings, mepei dochek batim, because there wasn't enough room. And therefore, for each person to designate properly his beis hakiseh, his bathroom needs, was not so simple, and therefore we allow it on Shabbos. But comes to cleaning out your teeth, a person knows where he's going to eat his meal, and that you should prepare beforehand.
More predictable.
More predictable. Good. Now, the problem that we confront, learning this Gemara, is that it opens up a very, very practical challenge on Shabbos, which is the case of bathroom tissue, roll tissue. So we know that we're not supposed to use roll tissue on Shabbos because of tearing, and possibly even tearing to size. So we're supposed to have pre-cut tissue. Where does that leave us, though, if a person enters a bathroom and it doesn't have the pre-cut? What's he supposed to do? So the simplest solution, which is commonly recommended, is that a person tears the bathroom tissue in an unusual way, not on the perforation, using his elbow or something, using an unusual method of tearing. And the question that we confront ourselves here is that in our time, bathroom is somewhat predictable. How can you say it's not predictable? In your own home, so I understand in the public setting, so maybe it falls into exactly what, who's going to take care in the public setting, in a social hall, that there's enough. So it turns out there's not enough, so we'll be lenient, we'll relax the rabbanans, the rabbinic laws. But in your own home, like, hello, the same way that we expected you to arrange for your own floss because you know where you're going to eat. So you have a bathroom in your home, you know where you're going to use the bathroom. So why would we relax things and downgrade to all kinds of derabanans and allow it? It sounds like from this Gemara that there's actually a problem, and our only distinction was because a person can't anticipate it. Now, in practical terms, definitely we're lenient. There's discussion whether that's really considered constructive tearing to begin with, because all you're doing is detaching something. You're not using it for any specific size, etc. And the way the poskim develop it, they're simply, in such a case of duress, there's enough lenient opinions to rely on. But it definitely gives us pause if someone was thinking of no big deal, I could always rip the paper with a shinui in an unusual way, and why should I bother spending the time before Shabbos pre-cutting or buying pre-cut? This Gemara is a very powerful response to that, that it does not seem that they wanted to relax the derabbanans in any area that could have been anticipated. Yasher Koach. Have a wonderful day.